That was happened in the time of Habakkuk. That also happened in the time of this generation. If you open the newspaper or you watch the TV news, almost there's only very, very few good news. All the news are bad news. You look into the world, there are so many injustice. And so many sinful things have been committed. It seems the strong take advantage of the weak. The rich take advantage of the poor. Those who are capable take advantage of those who are not capable. Those who have take advantage of those who have not. So a lot of injustice happen in the world. Then in our heart, we will ask a question. If there is God, how come this kind of thing happen? If God is still in control, how come God did not do anything? Do we have this kind of question? Yes, quite often we have that kind of question, right? You know, when you drive a car, if you overspeed, quite often you will see the police car chasing around you, right? So you know there is a consequence. Because of this, we always abide in law. But it seems the world, if God is a God of justice, God will enforce the justice and bring the injustice to judgment. And how come God cannot do anything? And that was a question Habakkuk asked. And that is a question a lot of Christians have in mind. So we turn to the page D2. Yesterday, we discussed question three. Right now is question number four. What is your favorite verse in this book? Why? If you read the whole Habakkuk, what is your favorite verse? Why? Brother, anybody, you go through the book of Habakkuk yet? Whole book. What does that mean? Oh, chapter 3, verse 18, 19. How about you? The same. How about you? You're still working to it. Oh, okay. Brother, hey, how about you? What is your favorite verse? Sister, what is your favorite verse? Huh? You don't have anyone. So everyone is a favorite. Or no favorite. Oh, okay, next one. Still working. Next one. Chapter 3, verse 18. Right? Oh, next one. Oh, you don't know. Okay. This evening, I come up with one favorite verse. Go through the whole book. And yesterday, we talked about the key verse. It's chapter 3, verse 2. It's quite meaningful. Because the last part you read, all right? We read. Show us your power to save us. If you are so powerful, please use your power to save us. And next verse, even very good. And in your anger, remember your mercy. Right? Why does God anger? Because of something injustice or sin. But when God anger, remember your mercy, means withheld his anger, not totally revenge according to his anger. So, because of his mercy, even though he get anger, we still can survive. Now we look back into question number five. If Habakkuk were dropped from the Bible, what would be missing to know God's work? If the Bible, there's no book of Habakkuk, and then what will be missing to know God's work? What's your answer? Hey, brother, the second row. Hey. You know the question? So what is the answer? You don't know. Next one. Yeah, something is missing. That's my question. What is something? Just some, right? Something will be missing. What is something? Yeah, the God's justice will come in due course. It definitely will come. But when will the justice come? God has his own timing. If the book of Habakkuk not there, our understanding of God's justice will be done, will be missing. And our understanding is, even the sin is apparent, right? Seems the sin is out of control, but God is still in control. This kind of concept will be missing. So a lot of time we feel that the world is chaotic. Why? Because there is no God. And human being cannot take care of the chaotic situation. So we conclude there is no God, but actually it's not. Even the world is chaotic, God is still in control. But if God is still in control, why does God allow it happen? Next question, that was a question asked by Habakkuk. Number six, how might Habakkuk help you struggle with issue of injustice on national or international level? How can Book of Habakkuk help you struggle with the issue of injustice? How? The third row, right, the last one. Right here. You hide in most safe place. What is the answer? Number six. Okay. How about next one? You don't know the question. Question six. How can the book of Habakkuk help you to answer the question of injustice on national or international level? Okay, next one. Oh, okay. If you look into, later on we are going to study the two questions, right? Now we're going to the outline and explanation. Number eight. The problems of Habakkuk. So he had two problems. So he asked God for answer about these two problems. The first problem, why is there evil in the world? Right? The first problem is number one. Before we go to number one, let's think about the question first, and then we go to number one. Probably we can find the answer. The question is, why is there evil in the world? And why do the wicked seem to be winning? The first question, why is there evil in the world? Why? Sister, second row. Oh, because Adam and Eve sinned, and how about you? The key question is because the Bible says Adam and Eve sinned, so the sin came into the world. So anyone who born in the world have sinned. We have sinful nature. So everyone, human being, if you were born from your parents, then we all inherit with a sinful nature. Why? Because the first person sinned, and sin came to the world. So everyone, since we have a sinful nature, and also we have a conscience, and most often the sinful nature is stronger than the conscience, right? So that is the reason why the evil things, there's evil in the world. And sinful nature is something inside, right? And outside is what? Satan. So the inside sinful nature together with the temptation of Satan, then a lot of evil things happen, right? If there is no Satan outside, probably sinful nature will not sin as much as we do today. Or if there is no sinful nature, even there is a Satan outside, probably we will not sin as much. And when these two put together, then we become powerless. Sinful nature is so powerful, and then Satan use all different kind of trick, right? Satan use three kind of trick, right? The lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, the pride of the life. Like a bait, like you want to catch a fish. Everyone, one by one, get caught, either by this or that, or that, or that. Look, almost everybody departed from God, either by this one, or second one, or third one. So many evil things happen. And then, if we ask a little bit further question, then why did Eve sin? Right? Why did Eve sin? Still, the same thing, through the same temptation from Satan. So the evil came to the world. A lot of evil things happened. Why do the wicked seem to be winning? Then what is the answer? Why did the wicked seem to be winning? Because God's justice has not been done yet. So it seems to be winning, right? Seems to keep on shooting up. But when God's timing is right, God's justice being done, you are going to see like a psalm says, the wicked one, it's like a big tree. You look into the big tree, oh, it's so stable, immovable, right? Because God's justice has not been done yet. But when God's justice is coming, it's just like a big wind blow on the big tree, whatever. The big tree uprooted. And collapse. So you can see almost every wicked person, they are going to fall before God, because God is justice. Even when they die, the justice is not done yet. According to Psalm chapter 73, in the final judgment, the justice of God will be done. So God is absolute just. Either the justice been done while still alive, or the justice being done in the final judgment. Eventually, the justice will be done. That's what the faith we need to have. God is in control, and he has his own due course to take, and he will revenge. Now we look into the first question. The first problem of Habakkuk. What was the first problem? He asked, how long will God allow the wickedness of Judah to go unpunished? You know, Judah was the chosen people, right? Who was the one who made covenant with God, who was one who had a prophet to teach them the law of God, who was one who received a lot of blessing from God, have a very noble status received from God? And how long will God allow the wickedness of Judah go unpunished? This is the first question Habakkuk asked. Now, we look into chapter 1. The book of Habakkuk, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1, Habakkuk, the minister during the death throne of the nation of Judah, although repeatedly called to repentance, the nation stubbornly refused to change her sinful way. And Habakkuk knew the heartedness chapter 1, verse 1. The burden with the prophet of Habakkuk saw. Here say the burden. What does that mean? The burden. When the God's movement, God's message come to the prophet, and it become a responsibility of the prophet to proclaim the message. So this is become a burden. Just like when you go home, your father or mother asks you to say, like, hold the garbage can to the street, right? Because tomorrow they are going to pick garbage, right? And your parents ask you to do it, it becomes your responsibility, and it become your burden, right? If you really love your parents and know your parents, they have been working so hard, come home almost exhausted, and you will be very waiting to help. Why? Because your parents work so hard for you to earn a living for you and to earn money to support your education. So the love touch you. So whatever he wish you to do, become your burden, and you have to do, you will do it. The same thing. When the revelation of God come to Habakkuk, because since God chose him to become a prophet, his duty is to proclaim the message of God. Once he received the revelation, the message, it becomes a burden. So he has to proclaim it. Without proclaiming it, his conscience cannot be clear. And that's called the burden, which the prophet Habakkuk saw. So lift up the voice to proclaim the message. How to define the prophet from this book? A prophet from this book. And point three, why don't you listen to my crying? Verse one, O Lord, how long shall I cry and you shall not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. So here Habakkuk cried to God. As what we mentioned yesterday, Habakkuk was a very different prophet. A lot of prophets, they convey God's message, and Habakkuk instead, they ask God about the question. The question in his heart. How long shall I cry? So Habakkuk feels so powerless when the nation fall into sinful life pattern. especially worshiping the idol and social injustice. Habakkuk feels so powerless. And he knew God is powerful. And he kept on praying, God, why don't you do something? Why do you allow this happen? Sometimes we have the same feeling, right? It seems the wicked become prosperous. It seems the godly suffer. We keep on praying, God, how long? How long are you going to take action? How long are you going to do something? Something like that. That's happened to the book of Habakkuk. We look into the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse 12. Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse 12. Anybody read it? Yes, sir. Anybody read it? Okay, this is what God told the Israelites. If you obeyed God and listened His commandment and obeyed, and God is going to keep His promise and be merciful to you, right? So because of this, Habakkuk crying to God. Next question, number D, why don't you save me? So as a prophet, he has a righteous heart. He stands on the side of God, all right? So he looked into the injustice practiced by God's chosen people. So his heart is so hurt. And sometimes he feels so lonely. Why? Because he is almost the only one who stand on God's side. You know, if everybody do something for a period of time, and then something become culture, right? If we ourselves alone, we don't follow that kind of life pattern, then you feel so lonely. Only I am different, right? Am I wrong or am I right? And Habakkuk definitely knew that what he did, his life is right. What he thought in his heart is right. But it seems God did not do anything. No. So why don't you save me? If you're so lonely, almost been devoured by the evil one in the society. No. Do you feel lonely in school? If you really want to practice the words of God. Probably in high school still fine, I don't know. But when you go to college, you will be very lonely. Yeah. A lot of colleges are so liberal. They're drinking, cohabitation, premarital sex, oral sex, use a drug, this and that. The weekend is the most dangerous days. So this become culture. So sometimes you feel so lonely. So weak when you face that kind of environment. God, please protect me. Please save me. So after I study in the college for 4 years, I still can keep my integrity in faith. And this kind of feeling is very similar to the feeling of Habakkuk. So, but the difference is right now happening in the campus. They are under the name of civilization. We are very civilized. You are the grown-up adult. You know how to make a responsible decision. So it seems when you have sexual relationship, because two parties consent with it, so it's nothing wrong. It's our personal business. It has nothing to do with anybody else. So this become a culture. So we feel so lonely. Why, God, why don't you save me? Right? Protect me. Habakkuk had the same feeling. He feels so lonely. Even if he proclaimed the message, try to correct that generation, what is going to happen? They are going to persecute him. You know, a lot of people don't like people say you are wrong. If you don't believe, you try. You go to the campus and say, homosexual is sin, to see what is going to happen. Anybody you dare to proclaim homosexual is sin in campus, raise your hand. Nobody. You can stand up, say homosexual is sin, raise your hand. You dare to say, raise your hand. Nobody. You know, so powerful, right? You already know it, right? So powerful. If you say homosexual is sin, everybody will condemn you, right? You discriminate, right? Everybody has freedom to choose their sexual preference, sexual orientation. You have to honor, respect everybody's liberty, right? Under the name of civilization, actually a lot of sin being committed. Even the godly people, they know it's wrong, but if they stand up to what is right, they are going to be persecuted, they are going to be isolated, and they will suffer. So Habakkuk says, oh, why? Why you don't save me? It's verse 1. So to be a true Christian is very lonely. Why? Because you will not compromise. But sometimes the Christian just, what? 2 feet stand on two sides, live a compromised life. When you come to the church, very godly, right? Holy, holy, holy. The hymn number 1. But when you go back to the campus, right? And you follow your friend. And then you walk in the borderline. And I only drink, I don't get drunk. Right? That is borderline. I make an opposite sex friend, but I know what is the limit. Borderline. So a lot of people, they just compromise. You know, when Lot moved to Sodom, where did he last live? Where did Lot live? When he moved into the city of Sodom? Huh? Yeah, in the gate, very close, very close. So that's a gray area. And Lot can explain to him, to himself, yeah, even I move into the city of Sodom, but I don't go deeper into the city side, because that's a sinful place. I am in the border. Oh, right. Comfort yourself. There is a gray area, right? And the conscience will not condemn you too much. Compromise. Live in a gray area of our faith. The same thing today. Okay, so this is number 1. Now, number 3, verse number 3. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plunder and violence are before me, and there is strife and contention arise. Impurity, why did God let the prophet see the impurity? So that was a question of the prophet. You let me see it, I cannot do anything. And you did not do anything. So when I see the injustice, the heart of justice inside me, cannot stand it. So the prophet's heart was so tormented, so painful. And verse 4. Therefore, the law is powerless, and the justice never goes forth. For the wicked surrounded the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceed. Because the law is powerless, means nobody enforce the law of justice. So that what? The justice never go forth. Then the wicked surrounded the righteous. Sometimes I drive, I don't know whether you are feeling, right? You drive in the South Carolina, there's an express lane, right? Double yellow line. Have you ever seen a lot of people, a lot of traffic just cross the double yellow line and get into the carpool lane, right? A lot of time you see no police catch them, right? nothing happened, then you are tempted to think, hey, I want to cross the double line. Why? Because a lot of people cross the double line, nothing happened. All right. Because nothing happened, so it becomes an encouragement. If you do it, nothing will happen too. By crossing the double yellow line, of course, you offend the law, but it's not to a morally corruption, that kind of sin, right? But if you see the more serious sin being committed every day, and nothing happened, justice was not done, whatever, eventually we will think, right? Wow, even do something wrong, it's fine. Nothing is going to happen. And that happened to the book of Habakkuk. So chapter 1, verse 4, verse 5. Verse 5. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded. For I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told, were told you. So start from verse 5 to 11 is God's answer. Definitely God has an answer because God is in control. So to the injustice, what was God's answer? That's very important. Now we look into point two. God's first reply. He is raising up the fierce Babylon as his rod of judgment upon a sinful Judah. Rod is for what? You are raising in the United States. You never experienced rod, right? What rod is for what? If you are racing in Oriental a few decades ago, rod is to beat up the children. You know, if you don't listen, 2-3 times warning, that beat up. Even right now, I still remember in United States, there was a youth called Michael Fay. I still remember very clear, a few years ago. Because he went to, the father and mother went to Singapore for some kind of business engagement. They settled down there. And that guy grew up in a divorced family. You know, the single parents always have tough time to discipline the child. So that American kid go out to spray the graffiti in Singapore street. And was caught. And if it was in United States, what is going to happen? You spray the graffiti on the street, being caught by police, what is going to happen? Probably you have to pay a fine, right? And then in probation for 1 year, and you have to do the labor for how many days, right? That's a very lenient. In Singapore, when you caught, what? It was judged, I don't know how many times, 7 or 9 times, had to be beaten by rod. And Singapore rod is very, very serious. They put you on the bench and use a very big rod. They hit you 1 or 2 times, you cannot stand up. 5 or 7 times, I forgot. So a lot of kids been beaten up, start from that on, they never commit sin. You teach them, don't sin, they still sin. And beat up 2-3 times, they will never commit sin. Because that's painful experience. And then because of Clinton interfere. So the single government reduced 2 times. So beat up 5 times. That's a very, very serious punishment for a youth like in your age. And God's answer is God has a rod. Rod for to punish the Judah. And what was the rod? What was the rod? The rod is Babylon. So only the righteous one will be used by the instrument of God. Correct or false? Right or false? God only used the righteous one to become his instrument. Right or wrong? God is a God righteous, right? So God only used the righteous one as his instrument. I'm going to give a survey. Oh. Either you know or you yes or no. Oh. Those who say yes, raise your hand. God is a righteous God. God only uses a righteous person as his instrument. Right or wrong? Right. Raise your hand. Wrong. Raise your hand. Oh, okay. How about others? Hey, you don't know. Brother. You. It's right or wrong? You don't know. Oh. A lot of people say a righteous God only uses the righteous person in his instrument. But if we read the book of Habakkuk, right? Chapter 1. We just read chapter 1 verse 6. God is going to use Babylon as his rod, and Babylon was even more sinful than the Judah, than the chosen people. Also, later on we are coming to the second question, right? And when God revealed the answer to Habakkuk, Habakkuk was even puzzled, even had more questions. You know, you're supposed to a righteous one punish the sinful one, right? The righteous one punish sinful one, that would be acceptable. And God used the evil one to punish the less evil. And that's totally against God's nature. So your second question Habakkuk asked about this question. How come God used this evil one to punish the less evil one? Okay. Before we go into the second question, let's think about the first one. Chaldean will come against Judah swiftly, violently, and completely. These three sentences put together is very, very, very terrible. Violent. So when they invade Judah, they kill, right? And they do a lot of bad things to the woman, to the children, to the elderly, to the men, violently and swiftly, swiftly, very fast. You have no time to retreat. You have no time to save, to hide. And completely, there's no place is safe. There's no place, no one will be immune from this kind of retaliation from God. So the coming storm from the east will be God's answer to Judah's crime. So when the due course comes, God's justice will be done. Also in the church, we should be very cautious, very cautious. Don't look at brother and sister, they do something wrong and make the church chaotic, they preach the heresy, it seems nothing happened. You go into open the eye and see, in the due course, something is going to happen. And how come God allowed it to happen? Because God has a grace period. Also, God will move people, keep on preaching the message of warning, and preaching the message of righteous, and preaching the message of loving, God's loving, and waiting patiently. When the due course, you're going to see, it's going to something happen. So this is what we learn. Number 8, 2A. So God will walk and astounding things. Point one, God knows everything. God knows everything. So there is no secret in front of God. We cannot hide anything from God. Right, you can use a password to hide your email from your parent. Right? We are transparent before God. So we have nothing to hide from God. The only thing to deal with our sin is what? Confess our sin. So God knows everything. God knows our past. God knows our present. God knows our future. God knows our outside behavior, God knows our inner motivation, and God knows all the words we speak in secret. And number two, God also controls the whole history. He is totally in control. So do you have the experience of playing the chess, right? You put on every step, you always have the whole picture, all right? One step, how do I win the chess competition? So God in his plan, God already have his own plan, right? Which timing, start from where, and how to do it. God already his complete plan. Because we are so ignorant about God, we thought nothing happened, God don't care, God don't interfere. No, God's complete plan, because God is in control of the history. Even we look into the world, right? God is in control. According to Book of Revelation, the book already been concealed. When the seal has been opened, you are going to see a lot of things is going to happen. Number B, Babylon becomes the tool of punishment. So God, a righteous God, will use the unrighteous person as his instrument. And that doesn't mean the unrighteous person will go unpunished. God used the unrighteous person to become an instrument, but the unrighteousness of the unrighteous person, God is going to deal with that separately. That's what the book of Habakkuk tried to convey. Number three. No nation will resist Babylonian. So from verse 8 to 11, we read verse 8 to 11. Their horses are also swifter than the leopard, and more fierce than evening wolf, and their charges ahead, and their cavalry come from afar, and they fly as the eagle that hasten to eat. Verse 9, they all come for violence, and their face are set like the east wind, and they gather captives like sand. Verse 10, and they scoff at the knife, and princes are scorned by them, and they deride every stronghold. And for they heap up eastern and wound and seize it. Verse 11. Then his mind changes and his transgresses. He commit offensive, ascribing the power of his God. So when the invasion of Babylonian come, that will be so serious consequence which the Israelites have to bear. This evening, we continue to study the second question. So through the discussion, we know better about God's divine nature of justice. Let's kneel down and pray. We conclude this session.